How do you grow your directing career? How do you approach businesses to get more video clients? How do you know what to charge clients? How do you build your team? Learn that and more on this episode of Treat Your Directing Career Like a Production Company with filmmaker Alex Mehra, owner of Sunny Creative and Shooky Sets.
This is the Working Director Podcast, show that helps you go from emerging filmmaker to working director. As a filmmaker living in Los Angeles, I've directed over 130 projects, including 6 distributed feature films, all while helping filmmakers figure out how to level up in their careers. I do this show with one goal in mind, to help you become a working director. And if you want to join us for the live Q&A sessions and ask all of your questions, make sure you join our free private Facebook group by going to theworkingdirector.pro.
Give us the brief story on how you started directing yourself.
First of all, thanks for having me on, Jen. Pleasure to be on the show. But yeah, to answer your question, you know, right off the jump, before I started my entrepreneurial journey as a content creator, as a videographer, editor, freelancer, however you want to categorize it, I was working at Entertainment Tonight on CBS television. I worked there as an intern, then production assistant, worked my way up the ladder. And believe it or not, when they hired me in 2012, they hired me and I was making $10 an hour, fresh out of graduating USC School of Dramatic Arts, minored in cinema. And I'm getting a $10 an hour job fresh out of college, but it was for an amazing company, for CBS television. I mean, you're in the entertainment industry now, you know, and that led to a lot of great opportunities. It was like a boot camp for me, you know, working in entertainment news, you're exposed to music, film, television. You have to work early hours, you know, long days. And after being overworked and underpaid and 2016 came around, my father was the one to tell me, look, you know, you're not happy at your job. What do you do great? What do you do great at? And I was like, I don't know. He's like, you create content. You're a great content creator. You've been shooting a video since you were a kid. You know, my parents gave me a little RCA camera when I was 7 years old, you know, making little neighborhood short films with my friends. And then, you know, I went to video production classes in high school and I learned Final Cut Pro 7 in 2002, you know, and so just since then, the foundation has been strong. And Pop, you know, was telling me that in 2016, you know, what do you do great at? You create content. And that's all he said. And a light bulb went off. And I was like, oh my God, you know, everybody needs content. This is like when Instagram was just fresh. There was no TikTok. There was not even stories anywhere. And I thought to myself, man, video monetization on social media, that's where it's at. That's where it's headed. And you need to run with it. And so I listened to my dad's advice, who's also an entrepreneur. And I took out all my savings that I made as a child actor. I was a child actor. It's another story. And I took all that loot out and, you know, bet on myself and invested in camera equipment and software and drones and, you know, allowed some time to pay for rent while I waited for money to come in. And, you know, the domino effect happened from then on. I just, you know, kicked the doors down and hit up anybody I could that I knew needed content for their side hustle or their business. And free video led to $100 video, led to $500 video, led to $1,000 video, led to more clients, led to scale, led to luck, you know, and so, you know, fast forward to now and things are going well.
Right. When you had to first ask your first person, you were like, can I make a video for you? Was that like a free video, first one?
You know what? That's a great question. My first video as like, all right, Alex, you know, you're a videographer now. There's no looking back. You're making money doing this. No, actually my buddy Femi, shout out to Femi, if you're watching, we went to USC together and he went into event planning and then he started his own event planning business post USC. And one of his clients was a few sororities at USC. So they threw parties and they needed video recaps of their parties. So Femi, you know, I told all my friends, hey, I'm starting my own business. If you need a video, let me know. Holla at you, boy. I'll do some things. I just announced it to my network. And sure enough, he connected with me saying, I need some content for a sorority party, you know, $500. You know, I need the video. I need the edit. I need it done in about a week after you wrap. Can you do it? You know, I'll give you a shot. And I was like, fuck yeah, let's do it. Or, you know, heck yeah. Sorry if I'm not allowed to cuss here. And so I did it and I did not know what I was doing. Okay. Like I had shot video before in the past. It had been a while. And so I'm a great editor, but I needed to brush up on my cinematography skills. And the video was so bad that I'm delivered to Femi. That he was like, yo, they're not happy with this. And do you have any other footage you shot? Like, where's this? Where's this? And I'm thinking to myself like, oh my goodness. I'm like, yeah, no problem. Let me just do another edit. And, you know, I just went back to the skits and I just repurposed some things and different music, took their notes and they were happy with it. And it was okay. It was average. And Femi knew it was my first gig and he gave me another chance. Aww. And when I took that second chance, I made sure I didn't screw up like that again. I needed to know what I was doing, have a plan, you know, shoot to edit, do things purposely for the edit, look at a few other event recap videos on YouTube. What are they doing? And I learned much more after I failed, basically. And so then afterwards, I destroyed the video. The sorority girls were like, who did that? We want them every time. Yeah. And then these videos were like a couple times a month. So that was like $1,000 a month just on these two recap videos. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, here we go. You know, let's make retainer money. Let's make residual money. Who else can I hit up that needs videos consistently? And then that's when my brain, you know, grew beyond, you know, just party videos. Then I could actually go corporate and things like that.
You've gotten a lot of work as a director shooter. You continue to work, like you're always doing something. I would love for you to share your story if you can. And we don't have to say the name of the company if you don't want to, but you told me a story about a really big company who called you on the phone. And like, you're at this point where you're just like, you don't even believe it's them. And the reason I want you to share it is to show that where you can go from your beginnings as a baby director with your $500 gig or maybe your $100 gig to getting this phone call. Do you know which call I'm talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a good story. And I don't have a problem dropping who they are because we're long gone now from that project and the relationships are strong. So anyways, hustling a lot of gigs and just really putting my head down and saying yes to as many projects as possible. And then, you know, we started really picking up some traction and we started making some noise. People started to see our ads online. And, you know, when your ads are running online, you've got eyes on you. You've got people interested. What are they doing? Even if they're not a client you're targeting, they could be a competitor. And so we were getting a lot of competitive intel calls, companies calling me, asking about a video project or an editing project, and how much would you charge for this? And what do you do for this? And I was starting to pick up that they're trying to get a lot of our sauce. They're trying to understand like how much we're doing things, like comparing us to what they're doing. So I would get frustrated, you know, and I could pick up on these people again. And it was just happening again that, you know, they weren't genuine calls. They were just calls really trying to sniff out what we were doing. And so I'm getting all these calls now for a couple of weeks. So then one call comes in on like a weekday evening and I say hello and he goes, hey, is this Sunny Creative? Yes, who's calling? You know, thinking it's another prank caller. Yeah, this is Jack Ambardella, president of video production communication over at AT&T. You know, we just love your stuff online. I was wondering if we could speak to you about a project coming up. AT&T? Okay, great. Yeah, how did you hear about us? I saw you online. Or okay, great. Yeah, well, if you're interested in us, well, just shoot us an email. Okay, we're really busy at the moment. Because on the other end, I'm tired of it. I don't think this is real. And Jack is confused. He's like, or okay. And what's your email? And I said, you can find it on the website. And he's like, okay, I'm on it. Where? Yeah, it says contact us. Just hit the contact us and tell me what you'd like to have us do together. Okay, thank you for your time. And he just was like really confused. And I was like, God, I'm so tired of these prank callers. This guy said he was from AT&T. Can you believe that? And so then he comes in with the email and it's legitimately an AT&T representative. He is who he says he is. He is the president of video production communication at AT&T. And I read it and I share it with my team. And we're looking at it like, wait, what did you say to this guy? Like, did you just really, you were an asshole to this dude? And I was like, yeah, I thought he was another competitive intel call. I thought this was like, how was I supposed to know? You know, like, and why would AT&T find us? You know what I mean? This is crazy. And so, you know, waited a business day. Didn't want to seem like we were too desperate after that experience. And then finally I reached back out to Jack and got him on a call and told him about, you know, first I apologized about how short I was with him. And then he understood where I was coming from after I told him the story of all the prank calls and we laughed about it. And if anything, it kind of left an impression with him forever, you know, like we'll never forget Sunny Creative, the team that basically told us to fuck off, you know, before they even heard us out. And so thankfully we laughed about that. They were still interested despite all of that stuff. And they flew us around the country, Chicago, Dallas, ATL. It was one of the biggest budgets I'd ever landed for the company, and it just, you know, put Sunny Creative in a different level in terms of exposure and marketability. And we learned so much and we gained even more contacts. And it was a challenge, you know, what they asked of us as well. We had a short crew, you know, and a lot of gear and a lot of edits and harsh deadlines, you know, and we were successful, you know, beyond all measures. So that's pretty much the story.
What would you say to a filmmaker who is, maybe they've directed a lot even, maybe they're really good at directing, but they're scared to take this new leap of asking businesses to hire them, to let them direct a commercial for them or do a spot for them. Do you have thoughts and advice for filmmakers making that transition?
You know, I think the new wave of filmmakers today, you know, especially trying to make money in this, is you have to also develop a skill set of sales, you know, to your palette. You need to understand that you can be creative, you can be artistic, you can be passionate, right, about creating. But if you want to make money doing this, you have to know also how to sell yourself and sell the value of the content you'll generate, you know, and that's where you'll make money. And so in order to break through there, you know, it's as easy as going in door to door, you know, go to your local community, go to a place, look them up online before you go in, check out if this local pizza shop or this local barber shop or this local med spa, you know, look them up around your area. And do they have videos on their Instagram? Do they have content on their website? If they don't, perfect. That's a great candidate. So go in there, introduce yourself, say, hey, I'm Joe. And that, you know, I've noticed that you don't have much content to your brand. Your competitors are doing so. If you wouldn't mind, I'd love to, you know, maybe just create a couple videos for you for free and have you post them and see, you know, what type of results it brings. And if you're happy with it, maybe we can create something more consistent, or maybe I can give you 50% off the first video together, whatever the case may be. But you won't get that yes without trying, without just going and executing. Just, you know, you have nothing to lose. So look up a few brands that you might like to work with as well. Maybe you want to work in medical. Maybe you want to work in boxing, you know, like maybe that's your passion. So then hit up a few boxing studios, see if you can do some content for them for free, and then show them your value, show them how good you are, and then how they need this consistently. And you'll surprise yourself with how many opportunities come your way fast.
When you're doing your production company, you never get scared to go ask for clients, right? You never get scared to go talk to somebody about shooting. Everybody I meet in the world, it's like, oh yeah, I have a full service production company. It doesn't matter if you're one person in that production company, because you can pull all the people you need. I know Alex has, it's Sunny Creative. They have everybody from like you have web through posts. Like, you don't have to do it all anymore, because you have literally people who can build the funnel system for you. They like, you can build this production company over time, but to start, when you're first starting, cannot be scared to just own it all and go out and find the people you need. When I say all that, Alex, what comes to mind for you about building your team?
Building your team, there's going to be a moment where you're getting so busy, like Jen said, you can't do it all, you know, because you're grinding, you're making it all happen. And then you've got so many clients where it's physically impossible to be at certain shoots and deliver certain edits when you're one person. And so that's when you have to level up and find people you trust. First of all, it's all about trust, like in this business, especially because there's so many thieves in this business. There's so many people with their own agendas, you know, and you've got to be able to have a good feeling for people, you know, based off of meetings, based off of Zoom calls, based off of vibes. You have to really feel it, you know, feel that you can trust this person. That's number one, first, before you even get into how qualified, how skilled they are. That's how I go about it. Like, I need to first like feel that I can trust this person, because I'm opening up my baby up, you know, like Sunny Creative is something I built. I've worked so hard in, and now I'm allowing an opportunity to come in, be a part of it, help us grow. It's so you need to be able to trust the person. Then secondly, you need to understand, you know, the playing field of talent out there. You know, like if you get somebody that's a great editor, they could be really, really expensive, right? And so you might not have that budget. So you have to understand talent level, where you can cut costs. There's great resources on Fiverr, you know, LinkedIn. You can find someone fresh out of college. Just get creative, you know, if you're really trying to stretch a dollar. And then once you find somebody you trust and you see they're talented, and you can start, you know, coaching and start training. Okay, this is what we do. These are our clients. These are the edits I'm looking for. This is a few examples of what I do. This is what I expect you to kind of cater towards, and then kind of give them like a couple test edits, you know, before you even allow them into your clients. See if they can really, you know, walk the walk, especially in this creation field. It's so easy to, you know, pretend that you've got a reel and whatever, but really the proof comes within the pudding when you can put them on. And so if you can kind of test that a bit before you green light them and give them a budget, give them a retainer. That's kind of my process of how we go about, you know, finding new talent and scaling our firm.
Another thing I know filmmakers struggle with, Alex, is asking for money. They don't know how to ask for their worth. They don't know how to go, I, as a director, should get $500 for this, or I should get $1,200 for this. How did you start to sort that out for yourself? And I will tell you, Alex is very good about being like, here's what we offer. Here's how much it costs. Would you like it? No? Okay, well, thanks for listening.
Yeah, definitely. Pricing, that's the toughest part, I think, for videographers as well. You know, it's like, how do you put a price on a certain project or scope of work or an edit, things like that? And I always, you know, I took a masterclass to learn specifically on how to sell video. And one of the biggest key points I took away from was, what is the result of this video going to bring your business or brand, right? So if I'm creating a before and after medical video for a plastic surgeon about a rhinoplasty, and their rhinoplasty cases start from $15,000 to $25,000 just for one case. And I'm creating a video that is supposed to generate 10 to 20, 30 new patients after being targeted, right? So, you know, then times that by 15 times 15 grand times 20 new patients is potentially what this video is going to bring this medical practice. So that's kind of how you have to think and how you are going to be able to validate to a medical director or a business owner of why this costs this much, you know? And so I always think about what the value of this video is going to bring. Think about how much the company can afford. What are they bringing in a month? What are they bringing in a year? And then, you know, kind of go from there and see, you know, what the market is presenting and how you can close the deal that way.
That is the first time I've actually ever heard somebody talk to the filmmakers about the result. Like, if you're giving someone that kind of money, then you want, it's almost like a profit share in a way. And that's exactly a great way to think about it. You're now thinking like an entrepreneur and not like a broke ass filmmaker. I love that. 100%. For the broke ass filmmakers who are new and scared to ask for money or don't know how, one of the things you can always do is just think, you know, if it's one day shoot and you need to hire a videographer and you're directing and you need an editor, like, what is or you need a sound person, what's the smallest rate you can do for that 2-hour shoot? You can talk to your people and that can help you come up with a small rate. Cause when you're new, it's harder to ask for that, you know, 15, 20, 100 grand for a shoot. Right. But you don't ever want to say yes to something without considering all the people you have to pay, because you need to get paid at the end of the day. I don't care if you pay yourself $100, you better get paid something for that shoot.
That's right, exactly. I mean, we're in this business to make money. We have to make a living in some way, right? Mm-hmm. And so even when it comes down to that, like even for me, when I started, you know, I was able to cut tremendous costs because I could shoot, I could edit, I could write, I could light, you know, and I would just convince companies, yeah, I need a full team, blah, 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 this and that. But I would retain like, you know, 65, 70% of the margins. And so for you, as you're starting, can you shoot? Can you edit? Great. As you're starting out. So maybe you just need an assistant. Maybe you just need a lighting grip. And so then think about, you know, what's the hourly rate right now going for these types of roles? Okay. Then go to that rates. And so if you're looking at a 2-3 hour shoot, you can charge per hour rather than getting like a full day. Oh, my full grip day is this and that, you know, even though they're only working 2 hours, but you can phrase it as, look, hey, I'm paying you X amount, you know, per hour. That's, you know, 2-3 times more than minimum wage. These are the types of things you need to, as a business, when you're growing, you have to stick to your guns and try and, again, cut as much cost as you can as you're building, as you're saving and building for bigger and better things.
You remember the name of the master class that you took?
Master Filmmaker. Yes.
Master Filmmaker. Easy enough to remember.
What's that?
That's easy enough to remember.
Yeah, Master Filmmaker. And it literally, you know, it was like a $10,000 program. It was like an 8-week program. And what caught my eye was, you know, are you a videographer, but you don't know how to close $50,000, $75,000, $100,000 retainers? And I'm like, yes, how do I learn that? How do I get people comfortably to say yes to a $75,000 retainer or whatever? And literally within that course, I learned so much and I apply it to, you know, every single day now.
I would like to just see, Alex, if there's something that comes to mind for you when you talk to filmmakers. And it could be like, when I say new filmmakers, I don't even mean like fresh out of college. They could be 40 years old, but they're not used to going out and getting their own work. What comes to mind for you that's like, I wish I knew this back then, or take this advice and it will save you 10 years? Is there anything that comes to mind for you?
In terms of like trying to find work?
Creating work and like,
any work for yourself, like
where to do it. And
yeah, I would say take advantage of, you know, online platforms. You know, I'll give you some good ones out there right now, guys. You know, Indeed, every single day there is opportunities on Indeed of companies looking for video editors, videographers, content creators, for all different types of businesses and brands. And these retainers, they're looking for like, you know, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 a month. That's all on Indeed. Or if you go on Bark, BARK.com, Bark's another good one. Bark is a lead generator platform where people literally go to Bark looking for videographers. And so you can get amazing leads in your area of people looking for videographers. And depending on how many, you know, coins that you purchase, you can use these coins to get the actual direct number of the lead. So you can call them and say, hey, I saw your listing on Bark. I'm confident I can help. Here's my reel. So Bark is a good one. Indeed's a good one. Yeah, those are two good ones.
Alex, this has been so much amazing information. I'm so grateful to you.
Thanks for listening to the Working Director Podcast. If you like what you're hearing, please rate and review as it helps others find the show and helps us keep making great content for you. And if you want even more help with your directing career, check out theworkingdirector.pro, where you can apply to be part of the accelerator that hones in on where you currently are and helps you get to where you want to be. Whether it's this podcast, the accelerator, or our free Facebook community for directors, we're here to help you get to work.